Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, AM 640. Bill Handel here. It is a Saturday morning. I'm here until 11 o'clock. If you need a lawyer, by the way, if you're injured, handleonthelaw.com is always the place to go. We have the lawyers. They know what they're doing. Injury lawyers, handleonthelaw.com. Here, a phone number, if you want to get into the show, 800-520-1534, 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law. Bill Handel here telling you you have absolutely no case. California, where I live, there are two states that are, they're within the United States, but not mentally, because the people, the legislatures are, well, California, the crazy legislature, Florida, more the crazy people, where you get these wild-ass stories. So I love to talk about crazy California, that laws, the legislature, which is a supermajority with a Democratic supermajority and a Democratic liberal governor. You put those two together, and what do you have? You have a disaster, a recipe for disaster. So here is a particularly good one. There is a bill that was introduced by two Democrats, of course, and it would require retailers to offer their toys and childcare products in a gender-neutral format, which means no boys section, no girls section. It all has to be unified, and everything for sale is for children, not for boys and girls. And you can't put up a sign that even indicates whether a product is intended for a boy or a girl. And, that is, you know, I can see we're taking now gender neutrality to a kind of a level that is beyond, not reality, but certainly beyond that part which makes sense. And it's, I think the issue here, and I am totally in favor of LGBTQ rights. There's no question about it. And for the most part, I'm in favor of gender neutrality. For example, restrooms, single-use restrooms. I have no problem saying gender neutral. I truly don't. But when it comes to retail spaces, not even recognizing that there is a gender, that there are gender differences. Now, the good news is you still, in stores, they are still allowed to put men's sections, boys' sections, girls, women. Otherwise, you've gone to the retail stores, Target, you've gone to other major retailers, Nordstrom's, we're talking about department stores, and you have the signs that say boys' section, men's, etc. And we haven't reached the point yet where you have signs that just have question marks and then arrows. That we haven't done yet. But when it comes to toy sections, we have. Those days where you differentiate between boys and girls are gone. And, you know, it's accepting the fact that they're really, that kids yet have not yet determined what their sexuality is. And I happen to be a believer that, number one, there is gender dysmorphia, where there are plenty of people who born male and identify as females and then later on get transitional surgery. And these people are very unlucky to do that, to be born in the wrong body. I truly believe that happens. And I truly believe that happens more often than we know. And I truly feel sorry because that's a horrible way to live. You know, being trapped and having to live a lie. I get all that. But, you know, how far do you take it? What, not even recognizing there's a gender difference? Do you move towards that is going to be the point of signage in department stores? So, and California, by the way, is the only state where this would really fly very quickly. Oh, yeah. And what happens if they don't? $1,000. $1,000 fine, and it's going to happen on a daily basis. So guess what's happening? Stores are moving in that direction. You go to a toy store, no delineation whatsoever. Now, that's not a big deal. You go up and down the aisles, but you're still recognizing the fact that there really are gender differences, that we're not all sort of kind of the same sex, and it doesn't really matter between private parts because we're all the same, kumbaya. I don't get it. I really don't. It's kind of crazy making. Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, Bill. I have a question. I'm expecting a refund check from a furniture store. And it's been over a month. And when I contact them, they say they already sent me the check. And they show me a copy of the cash check. But the check was payable to someone else. And it's actually mailed to someone else's address. So technically and legally, they never actually paid me.
That's correct. No. Not technically or legally. Ryan, you have to use the word actually, they never paid you. They can send checks all they want to all the people in the world they want. That doesn't mean you've gotten paid. Are they actually defending themselves and saying they sent the check to the wrong people, therefore you've been paid?
Yes, so that's what the argument, and then they told me to fill out some paper form to do fraud investigation.
Right.
So then.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. No, Ryan. Wait a minute. There's no fraud involved here. Not that you're involved with. They sent the check to the wrong person and the wrong name. Let's say they made a check. Let's say they made a check to the landlord and made a mistake, and then sent it to another landlord who cashed the check. They want you to get involved in that situation. It's not your problem, Ryan. They just haven't paid you.
Correct.
You just say, I want my money.
Correct. I went to the store. It's almost $3,000.
All right, Ryan, $3,000. Just sue him in small claims court. Make a claim. Sue him in small claims court. You'll get it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, one's easy. So. I love that. Here's our defense. We sent the check to the wrong person. Therefore, we've already paid you. Pretty spectacular, don't you think? Glenn. Hello, Glenn. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Bill, I have a Schuberth motorcycle helmet. It's the best helmet in the world that I bought on eBay. I took delivery of the helmet and found out there were some problems with it. Took it to the manufacturer's, representative, and they discovered that it's a European helmet built to European standards, not USA, which are in some ways kind of derelict compared to USA standards. So I notified eBay, and they've worked out that I get a full refund when I ship them the helmet back. But what this national retailer who I bought it from on eBay, what they'll do is just put it in the box and sell it to somebody else. So I think it's not wise for them to get the helmet back. And I want them to give me not a refund of what I paid, but the helmet that I actually bought. That is to say, the USA regulated helmet.
Okay, so what if they don't have it? What if they only have the European version?
Then they go to the manufacturer and they pay for the USA version they represented.
Got it. And what if don't have a contract? Does someone just walk in and buy one retail and send it to you?
I really don't care.
I understand. So here's what I want you to do. You go to court. Your Honor, I need a helmet from a company that doesn't carry that helmet. They've refunded me the money, but now I want you to order them to change their habits and the way they sell, even though what they're doing is legal, because I have said they now have to produce American-made helmets for in their business for now their new business model. Why, of course, Glenn. I'll be more than happy to order a manufacturer or distributor to change how they sell, buy, and manufacture because you think they should do that.
You don't quite have it correct there, Bill. It's a national retailer of motorcycle gear completely. They just happen to sell every helmet. And they represented a helmet, presumably USA helmet.
You got your money back. Glenn, you got your money back. That's all you can do.
Well, I haven't quite got my money back.
Well, that's different. That's different. If they don't want to send your money back, do they want the helmet?
Well, they say if I give them the helmet back, they will give me a full refund.
That's it. That's all. Then you're done. Then you're done. Beyond that, you know, why don't you go in front of the board of directors and argue that the president, who is in charge of a company that has 5,000 employees, is doing it wrong. Therefore, board, you have to fire him and put in someone who would never do this. And here's who I think should be doing that. I mean, that's kind of crazy. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
And good morning, Bill Handle, on a Saturday morning. The phone number for phone calls. Well, that's usually what happens with phone numbers, don't you think? 800-520-1534. If you'd like a question or two, one question answered, 800-520-1534. Welcome back to Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have no case.
Oh,
hello, Marvin.
The Lakers game.
Yeah, Marvin.
Hello, Bill.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Back in December 2019, I installed my solar panels. And comes February 2020, I called them up and says, hey, I have not received an electric bill. They told me I had a zero balance. So I called back in April. And they said I had a zero balance. In May, they told me I had overpaid $5. But then comes June, I get a bill for a back charge of $1,000.
All right, hang on. I don't understand. Wait, hold on. They told you you have a zero balance. They told you that. You have yet to see a piece of paper. Then how did you know that you overpaid by $5? How could you pay them, or how did you pay them without any documentation? To send them a check?
I had continuing service up until I put the solar panels in. And once I put the solar panels in, I no longer got a billing. So I thought, fantastic.
Where was that $5?
It was probably from an overpay of the previous. But now I want to know, what do I do about the $1,000 back charge that they're trying to hit me with? Because when I called them up, they said that they simply made a mistake.
Yeah, no, and they can make mistakes. They're allowed to do that because the bottom line is you owe them the $1,000, assuming that that's the case. The mistake was in not informing you on a monthly basis that you owe the money. So if there are any penalties involved in that, those have to be waived. Any late fees, et cetera, those have to be waived. Are there some late fees involved in that $1,000?
Yes, sir. There's a few that have accumulated. Obviously, I haven't paid them that $1,000.
I understand. But of that $1,000, are there late fees being charged or interest or any penalty at all?
Yes, they're actually threatening to shut the power off.
If you have a solar system, how can they shut your power off, except maybe at night? Let me ask. Hold on a minute. And you're not answering my question. Of that $1,000, how much are late fees and penalties?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm driving my car.
All right. So whatever it is, that's off the table. All right? Because you're saying they didn't send you the bill. Did they say they did send you the bill?
No, they said there's zero balance. I don't owe them anything.
They said there's zero balance. Was it a phone call?
Yes.
And did you make the phone call?
I made the phone calls, and then a month later, I made another one.
Got it. Okay. All right. Now I understand. Okay. Thank you for that. Here's the bottom line. If their mistake is that they didn't inform you, if their mistake is that there's something in the billing and, in fact, you don't owe the money, you're going to be fine. If you actually owe the money, you're responsible for the money. Not for any late fees, not for any penalties, which is what I asked. And let's say it's actually $800 or $700, and they go, you want the money right now. You start negotiating right now, saying, I don't have $800 to pay you. Let's stretch this out because you're the ones that made the mistake in not sending me the bill. And that's why I'm asking, did they send you a bill? Are they saying they sent you a bill?
No.
Okay. All right. Then the argument. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. And do they admit they never sent you a bill?
Yes.
Then I don't know how they can ask for the money, because what if you don't have it? So you start negotiating with them. I'm sorry?
Okay.
You start negotiating. You start negotiating with them.
Okay. I understand.
I understand. And you tell them, okay, thank you. Always a pleasure. And you always say, I want a bill from now on. I have a solar system. I get a bill every month. Every single month I get a bill. Sometimes it shows zero. Sometimes it shows a negative where I have actually sold them. Sometimes it's a very small amount, but there's always a bill. There's always a record. This is Handle. Let me tell you about LifeLock. I think I missed that. Where is LifeLock here? LifeLock is protection. LifeLock is real protection for your identity. And why is your identity, keeping your identity yourself so important? Because with someone stealing your identity, credit cards are issued in your name, applied for credit, purchases are made. I mean, there you get a bill from Amazon and it's for $1,000 and it's not even yours. Someone grabbed your identity. What LifeLock does is protect your identity. And this is real protection too. And I have been a customer for years. Now, no one can protect every identity at every time or monitor every business protection or every business negotiation or purchase. However, the best you can do, in my opinion, is LifeLock. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE for 25% off for your first year. 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law. I don't really care anymore. Oh, oh, oh. I gave you everything. Good morning. Bill Handle here on a Saturday morning. We have lines open. Haven't in a little while, but now's the time. 800-520-1534. 800-520-1534. And welcome back to Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have no case. Teresa. Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
Yes.
I want to sue a former landlord. I want to see what my rights are.
Okay. You want to sue a former landlord for what?
Well, we were not able to reach an agreement as to the amount of damages that were done to the house. They kept my security deposit.
All right.
They did their own move out inspection. I asked, could I be present? They ignored my request, and they, once I looked at the compiled list of what they said were damages, which included a rotted wall in the kitchen from termite damage, but I have documentation that the house was infested with termites.
All right, so hold on. All right, you've said enough, and so you want to know what your rights are.
Right. The move.
Yeah, your rights are to sue them. That's your right.
Okay.
That's it. That's it. Well, good for you. Well, those are your rights.
I don't have any after photos. They were erased from a phone of mine. So.
What do you mean they were erased out of what?
From a phone of mine. My phone went through a hard reset, and for some reason I can't find the after
that's a
photos,
problem.
But I do have documentation of the termites, though.
What is that? Okay, you have what kind of documentation do you have of the termites?
Emails with the termite, the pest control guy coming to the house.
All right, so you have proof of that. And are they arguing are they arguing beyond the termites?
Yeah, some other stuff.
Okay, but you don't have any proof to counter that other stuff.
Right.
Well, what do you think's going to happen when you don't have proof for that?
I don't know. I was trying to see because they violated the.
I understand, but I understand completely. How far are you going to? How far are you going to argue with no proof?
Well, they didn't allow me back in the house to take my after photos. I took a few photos, but I was under the assumption I'd be able to snap some photos as we did our walkout.
And they said no, but on your. All right, but on your way out, you could have taken the photos. But again, are you going to argue? Well, they didn't let me back in, therefore. All this damage is not my responsibility.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Okay.
So it's all a matter of proof. I mean, you got him on the, certainly have him on the termite damage. That's not an issue. And you can argue they wouldn't let you back in, but they're going to say, of course we told her she can go back in. No, that's not true. Okay, where's your email saying we said you couldn't go back in? Well, I don't have it. See, that's the problem. Steven! Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Bill. Back in 2013, there was a child support order.
Are you on a speaker? Are you on a speakerphone, by the way?
I was on a headset. Let me take off the headset.
Yeah, that would help.
All right. How about now?
Much better.
All right, Bill. Back in 2013, there was a child support order put in place for my daughter between her mother and I. I was only seeing her about 30% of the time. Fast forward 8 years. Daughter's with me about 65 to 70% of the time. Mom has a job now. She's making a couple dollars more an hour than me. My question is, how likely is it if I request a support order change, given the fact that mom makes a little bit more than me and daughter's with me a little bit more?
It's not going to change a lot. I mean, nothing substantial has changed. That's the problem. It's a little more and a little more. And...
Mom wasn't working when the support order was put into place.
Okay, so it's not a little. Okay, so it's not a little more. The court order is predicated on the fact that mom was not working. Correct?
Yes.
All right, but child support doesn't change. Usually, alimony does. Spousal support.
Was there any way that would close the case, considering that we see the child the same amount of time, and in fact,
no, the judge is not going to. No, the judge is never going to close the case. What the judge is going to do is look at changed circumstances, what you're doing is asking to lower your child support, which may be because the child support payment is based on the fact that mom wasn't working and she had no money to support the child. Now you're arguing mom is not only working, she's making more money than I am, and I'm sitting on a child support order based on she has no money. Yeah, I think that's enough to open the case. Now, is the judge going to shut it down? Of course not, but the judge may change the order, probably will, based on those facts. How much child support are you paying right now?
Yeah, not much, about $350 a month.
Yeah, the judge
is. I'm also a nursing student and trying to as much as I can.
How much are you making as a nursing student?
I work as a paramedic, so I'm making about $45,000 a year. And about
judge is not going to change. Yeah, judge is not changing that. Not for $350 a month. That ain't going to happen in this lifetime for sure. William, hello, William.
Yes, sir. My name is Bill. Thanks for having me. I was hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, congratulations!
On my motorcycle.
Okay.
Yeah. and ended up at a very prestigious level one trauma center in Atlanta. They discharged me, I think we all think, way too early. I ended up with an infection, ended up back in the emergency room a day later, 2 days later, ended up having an infection, having four or five more surgeries, set me back 2 months. Ooh. I don't know if my particular lawyer could handle suing a place like that. Me and my family, we're not real litigious people.
Yeah.
But we think, like, I got wronged. So
okay, yeah, and you, based on what you said, now, when you say we all thought they let me out fairly early, who is we?
Just my family.
All right, well, that doesn't have much medical import. You need doctors.
Right.
Yeah, you need doctors that are saying they let you out too early. And on top of that,
too hard to prove.
Yeah, well, that's so you talk to a lawyer who specializes in medical malpractice. So when you said, I don't know if my lawyer can handle it, is that a med mal attorney?
He's, you know, he's helping me. He's helping me with the insurance and the crash and the insurance.
Okay, is he a medical is he a medical malpractice attorney?
No.
Okay, that's what you need. Because you're, what you're doing is you're fighting a major medical institution, and believe me, they have lawyers that specialize in defending medical malpractice. So you need someone who really knows what he or she or they, depending on the size of the firm and how many people are involved, are doing. Because the issue is going to be, we know that Bill had an infection, but that wasn't our fault. We didn't catch it because it wasn't catchable. And if we did catch it, it happens anyway, because there's X percentage of people who get an infection under any circumstances. I mean, there is a defense here. Now, based on what you're saying, I think it's going to be a hard case to defend. But no, you need a medical malpractice attorney, and there will be second opinions. And believe me, they're going to be all over the place. Yeah. You know, go to handleonthelaw.com. That's where you want to go and see medical malpractice attorneys, and personal injury lawyers are there. That's handleonthelaw.com. That's E-L. All right, this is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Welcome back to Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. Donna. Hello, Donna. Welcome.
Hi. My question is this. What rights do we have? We have a situation in the city where we live, or several, not all, the mailmen are refusing to deliver our mail. And the reason is because a car is parked in front of the mailbox, and they are on timers, and they cannot spend the time to walk around a car and drop it into the mailbox. And if that is a public street, we cannot prevent that, right? Okay, so another situation is my mailbox spins a little bit so that I could reach for my mail. And he says that's too much trouble for him to open the little door and readjust the mailbox. I don't have it. It's facing the street. And so they're holding our mail for 4 to 5 days. They don't give you a notice. And they send you to the post office, and there's no result. So what rights do we have?
Well, I mean, you're right. Your rights are to have your mail delivered. Or not even delivered. Your rights are that the mail must be given to you, and holding at the post office is part of the ability of the post office to do that. For example, there are rural areas where the mail is not delivered into mailboxes, the personal mailboxes. It's you have to go to the post office to pick it up. And so,
is it a law or is it a rule?
It's not the law, because the law doesn't discern a postman has to walk X feet, and let's say it doesn't have to walk any more than 40 feet. And therefore, at 41 feet, the post office is right to say no. And at 39, they can't say no. It just talks about the post office exists to deliver mail. That's the law. Now, within that, the Postmaster General has tremendous leeway. For example, now they're talking about not delivering mail on Saturdays. But doesn't the law say they have to deliver mail on Saturdays? No. Does the law say that the post office can determine whether or not I have to pick up? No. So can you do something about it? Yeah. I think what you can do is go to the postmaster of the local post office and ask that that policy at that place be changed. But that's it. You're not going to be able to sue them. And by the way, let's say you do have the right to sue them, which I don't think you do. How much money do you want to spend on a federal attorney?
I don't want to sue them. I just want to know that my mail's coming in. And it's
your mail's coming in.
But delivered, I mean.
No, and your mail is being delivered, and it's going to the local post office where you're about to pick it up. Where's the mail not being delivered, and where does the law say it has to go into your post office box?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what we want to know.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough one, but yeah, the postmaster general, the post office, the postmaster of that local post office has the ability to make changes. Zakiya.
Hi, Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I purchased a 26-foot box truck. And it's been in disrepair since the onset, and it's been in so much disrepair, they paid my first note. My question is, what can I sue for? I want my money back on the truck, and I also want punitive damages. I discovered that the odometer reading was adjusted.
And you know who did it?
Yes.
And can you prove it?
Through the paperwork, yes.
Okay.
The repair history printout.
All right. Assuming you can prove all of that, you can certainly get your money back. There's no question about it.
In addition to money back, can I sue for punitive damages because
no.
I purchased this vehicle?
No. You're not going to get punitive damages. Maybe lost wages. That's compensatory damages. Maybe lost wages because the truck was in the shop so much. Did you buy from an individual or a dealership?
No, a large nationwide.
Helps you. And you can prove that they did it.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, because of the whole history, putting all that together. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get punitives. Maybe you can try.
I read about a odometer fraud statute that was updated this year, and it said it updated the minimum punitive damages to $10,000.
All right. Well, you can sue if there is a statute that specifically determines that. Then yes, you follow the statute. How much did you pay for the truck?
$35,000 with everything.
I think you can. You certainly sue for that. You can ask for the punitives and then specify that statute that allows punitive damages. Yeah. I think you have it based on that.
Maybe lost wages.
All your compensatory damages. But and as far as changing the odometer reading, that's a federal violation. There's some criminal violation there too. This is Handle on the Law.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.